This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We are happy you chose to worship with us and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday.
Do you know of someone who is having a real rough time in life? Have you done anything to try to help that person? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that during this service, you will open our eyes to see those who are round about us, who are suffering, hurting in one way or another. We pray that you will open our ears, and through the text that you have given us for this sermon, we will hear you say, "Bear ye one another's burdens." And then we pray, O God, that you will open our hearts and give us the determination to move into that person's life and be your servant there, help him by the grace of God to lift a burden. This is our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Into the brightness of Zion's glad morning, joy to the lands that in darkness have lain. Hush be the accents of sorrow and mourning.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the sixth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning with verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
So strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
world's full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Friends in Christ, while the Bible teaches that we are saved by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior, that Savior goes on to say, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. In other words, what the Bible is telling us is the dynamic of the gospel is so great that it not only gives us the assurance of our salvation, but it goes on to challenge us to new things in our lives. One of these changes that we will experience as we live with Christ in a very personal way is a willingness to share our days and weeks and months with other people. Listen to Paul, as in our text today, he says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of God. To share our lives with other people is not very easy. It does not come natural to us. It is a work of the Holy Spirit alone. Remember when you were a kid? I do. My father and mother would have to say to me again and again, now remember this, you've got to share. But that was something that I was not so anxious to do. I was more than happy to keep it all to myself. Now that life has gone by practically, and our Heavenly Father has walked with me, I hear him say real often, remember, as a Christian, you have to share the things of your life. Sharing is very difficult for most of us to do. What is it, then, that God is after? He is telling us that we are to share with those who have burdens. And who are those who are so burdened? Well, you can say all of us have our burdens. We have our heavy moments, the difficult times in one way or another. That's why it's good to have a good spouse, a person that you're able to turn to and share your concerns with him or her. It's a great loss when we lose that person because we notice then really what we did share with each other. We sing in a hymn as we will conclude the program today, we bear our mutual woes. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in wondrous love. It is that closeness to those who are near and dear to us. Jesus had his burdens. Remember his experience in the Garden of Gethsemane? There he was. The cross was before him. The sins of the world were upon him. And he took the 11 and they went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they got there, he got into a more immediate situation and took Peter, James, and John with him into the inner garden. He wanted to have somebody with him, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. How pathetic it was that they could not be the help that the Lord needed at that particular time. they fell asleep. But Jesus gives us a great indication there that it is necessary that we have people to whom we can turn for help. But today we're talking about the burdens like Jesus had are far less than what he had, but the burdens that are greater than just the ordinary things of the day, where the experience is so heavy that a person knows not which way to turn. What are some of those burdens? Well, here from my experience, I could name one or two for you. Here is a person who is a faithful member of the church. Basically, he's a very trustworthy man. But one day, he makes a terrible mistake. He is caught driving a car under the influence of alcohol. He is arrested. He is found guilty. He is fined. His license is taken away from him, and he is suffering from an OMVI. How will he face the people? That man has a real, real burden. Now, you can say, well, it's at his own making, and that's true, but he nevertheless has a burden. Besides that, if he has a family, there's a burden there. Dad got a drunk driving charge and was found guilty. And what does the poor wife say when she meets her friends in the social events? Did you read the newspaper last night? Did you see what happened to my husband? We are terribly, terribly ashamed. Or here's another one. The family where there is a divorce. How often we will hear people talk about, did you see that this one got divorced? Now, we never expected this particular family to get a divorce because theirs was supposed to be the ideal marriage. And they were both Christians. How could they possibly cover this over, and then all of a sudden we learn that their marriage is going to end? Difficult. Difficult for us to understand. But all the suffering that some of those members of the family go through as they share with their loved ones their feelings. What has happened to our family? Here's one that probably is even a little harder. When one who has been a very, very substantial person in your presence and that you think a lot of is suddenly charged with a felony, and the newspapers grab it, and oh my, how they like to deal with something like that. And they are told that he was brought to court, and the judge had to deal with it in one way or another. Maybe it was a prison term. Maybe it was a suspended sentence, whatever it might have been. But oh, the burden that goes along with that terrible incident in the life of that individual. Or maybe it's a person who is suffering from bereavement. There was a long illness, and then finally death came. The funeral took place, and there were a lot of people who were around there at that particular time. And I seemed to get by all right, the person said. But now it's several weeks or months later, and I am so lonesome. I have a real burden. What do I do as a Christian brother or sister? That is a question that Paul addresses today when he says, round about you, if you'll be sensitive, there are those who are really hurting. And what I want you to do is bear one another's burdens. In other words, he is saying you are to be available. If they want you, if there's some way that you can help them, this is your responsibility as a Christian individual. Jesus is the one who gives us a great example of this. For example, if you turn to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, you'll recall that they were going through Samaria, and they had come to the well at Sychar. The disciples had gone off to get some groceries, and Jesus was sitting there by the well when a lady came by. He looked at her, and he said, "Will you give me a drink?" And the woman looked at him and said, "How can you ask me for a drink? For you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. You don't have anything to do with us." Jesus had sensed the burden of that woman. The conversation went on, and by the time they got done conversing, he had told her that he was a promised Messiah, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And she ran off to her village and told whom she had met, and they came out to meet him. The point of the sermon, of the story today in this sermon, is that Jesus saw a burdened woman, and he took the initiative to sit down and talk with her. Or you remember how when he went in and ate with the sinners and the publicans, and the Pharisees accused him of that. What was it? He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." In other words, our Lord was concerned about lifting the burdens. Time comes into the situation here. You say, well, what are you telling me? Are you telling me that I'm supposed to spend time with these who are so afflicted in one way or another? Not I necessarily, friend, except that I voice the word of God. It is what God is saying. Yes, we have a place. We must take time for ourselves, that's right. But we must also realize that there are those who deserve, because we are Christ's servants, a bit of this time too. I wouldn't know what to say, you might go on to respond. What do I say to a person when I come to him? I might fall flat on my face. I would say to you that James gives us a great answer there. Go to that person, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. There's not very many people, I find, who really know what it is to listen carefully. Have you ever had that experience where you have a concern and you're sharing it with somebody, and immediately after you have gotten about halfway through the introduction of what your concern is, the person says, "Oh, I know what you're talking about. Let me tell you my experience." And the whole conversation suddenly is taken from you and to that person. This individual is not able to sit down and take the time to listen. In vulgarity, I sometimes would like to say, "Keep still. I'm talking. I get the floor now." But rather than that, they ramble on, and you just say, "Well, it's no good to go to that person." You don't know the value of a listening ear. There are not a lot of people who really know how to listen intently and are concerned with what you are saying. If you and I will listen, friend, we are going to build relationships with that person who is sharing his soul with us. It builds relationships. They will set the agendas, and there'll be plenty to talk about. It's important, as Paul tells us, in this listening time and in whatever we share with them, not to appear self-righteous, not to give the individual the idea that, well, you're in a desperate shape. I'm not in that shape because I'm a little bit better than you. We can be tempted that way. And Paul says you better be careful, because before you know it, you can be in the same condition. What do we say finally when he gets around to us speaking? When the agenda has been set and they confess what they have done and that it is wrong, utterly wrong from beginning to end. The tendency there is to condone the sin. Well, I know it wasn't right, but we all fall into that particular sin or another one like it. God doesn't want that to happen. God wants them to confess their sin. They're confessing it to you. Now, after the confession is true and done, then you turn to them and say, "It is for that sin that Jesus came into the world, to suffer and to die that you might be forgiven." Sometimes that confession does not come. Sometimes these people are not yet honest. They have broken the law of God or the law of man, and they don't want to admit it. When the time is right, and if the relationship is strong enough, maybe that is a time in bearing one another's burdens that you confront the individual with their sin. and you say to them, you know, the best thing you could do is be honest. God is willing to forgive you. It matters not what it is, but he cannot stand it if you live with your dishonesty. Luther had put it so well when he said, a brother ought to comfort his brother who has fallen with a meek and loving spirit. I'd like to ask the question, how are we doing in the church along this line? And I think that we would have to say both bad and good. And not long ago, I called the church, and it was a Saturday afternoon. And this was the answer that I got when calling at the church office. Our office hours are Monday through Friday from 8 until 5, and Saturday morning, 8 until noon. If you will leave your number and your name, we will see that your call is returned and you'll have an opportunity to visit with a person. Period. I thought to myself, this is not an emergency. I can easily let it go by until Monday. But tell me, what if it were? Wouldn't it have been better if the announcement on the phone had said, the staff is not available, but here are three numbers. You may call any one of these three, and they will do their very best to help you in whatever way they can. Wouldn't it be a little better? Naturally, we have to guard some of the requests that are made, we guard ourselves from them. But it is necessary, friend, for us to be there, ready to serve, ready to help whenever the case calls for it. I heard another person say not long ago, you know, my husband was sick for several weeks, and then he died. No one from the church, except the pastors, came to see us. That's a rather sad situation, for these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, that's the bad side of it. On the other side, I think some pretty good things are happening in the church. And here I give you a case where we have one, for example, who has found that his help is in a small group. I would urge you that you find your way into a small group. Group of people of probably 10 who gets together every so often and reads the Word of God and shares it together. And then you can become one. And when there are burdens, that's where you go. The Stevens ministry has been a great blessing in many congregations. Here people are trained to go out and visit with their friends about the hurts that they might have. Marvelous things have happened. One time I was in a home giving the lady communion when she hurriedly said, I have to ask you to speed it up a little bit, Pastor, because my Stevens minister is going to be here. We meet once a week together. So I said, may I stay for a few minutes and see what happens? And here came this lady, the Stevens minister, was suffering from multiple sclerosis herself. And this was what they did. They sat down, had a cup of coffee, played a game of Scrabble, and then they visited back and forth. That was lifting the burden from that poor old lady who was not mobile. Think of the blessings that hospice has brought to so many people. Yeah, great things are happening, and burdens are being lifted, and we want to thank God for His Holy Spirit's work in our midst. But it's good for us to remember that Jesus has said, when you're one of mine, you must share your life with others. Our parents began by saying, you've got to learn to share. Our Heavenly Father continues to the end to say to us, you have to learn to share your life. That's a part of the Christian walk. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are willing to share your Son with us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are willing to share your life with us. And so, again, we pray that you will help us to be obedient and to hear your call to lift the burden of those who are round about us by bringing to them nothing else than the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a real commissioning. That's a real responsibility. Give us grace, give us strength to be your faithful servants. Hear us, Lord Jesus, as we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
This is Janet Mannon, Director of Christian Crusaders. Thank you to all of our listeners who have supported this ministry with your financial gifts as well as with your prayers. Without either of these, Christian Crusaders would not have been able to air this program for the past 69 years. We are most grateful for your faithful support. Many of our listeners are surprised to learn that our ministry must purchase radio airtime in order to broadcast on each station. Frankly, we need your help. Please write us today and let us know what station you listen to. And if you're in a position to do so, consider sending a financial gift as well. Through your gifts and your prayers, you become a partner in carrying out our mission, which is to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive Him. God's blessings to each and every one of you.
Address your letters and gifts of support to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. We praise God for your gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are all available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Or call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.